We're going to look at one short verse there, and then look at a couple of other verses back, one in chapter 4, and then some things in Hebrews. And I was talking to Brother Tom Jensen yesterday. He flew into town, and he was telling me he was looking forward to something expository today. This is not an expository message. This is what's called a textual message. We're going to take a particular text, and we're going to launch out from there. The subject is a little parenthesis that is maybe the most important parenthesis in the entire Bible. And you'll see what I mean in just a minute, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, if you're there, chapter 5 and verse 7, little parenthesis there, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. Now go back to chapter 4, the very last verse in chapter 4. You should be there already. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. He says, We look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll take a look at this subject of faith, not sight. Father, we thank you this morning that we have the privilege of being able to call ourselves your people, because the Bible says we belong to you, that we're bought with a price. Thank you that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. Thank you that Jesus came and died on the cross and shed his precious blood to pay the price and to cleanse us from our sins. And I thank you that we have a new life now and a new life in eternity. But Lord, just as we've been singing today, we know that there are struggles in this life, and we know that there are times when we just can't see, many times we just can't see, and yet we know that the Bible is true. God, help us this morning to understand this simple concept, and I pray that you'd bless it now. We ask in Christ's name, amen. I'm going to tell you what the message is to begin with, and then I'm going to try to make it as real to you as I can. If you get what I'm about to say in this first minute or two, the rest of the message will just fall right in behind that. Many of the things that you and I do as Christians do not have an obvious benefit. In other words, you can't see the benefit of those things when you do them. For example, let's say, I'll just pull this one out of the air here. Let's say that you write a tithe check to the church, and you write that tithe check for, I don't know, however much money it is, $100, $200 or whatever, and you drop that tithe check in the offering plate. At first glance, you'd say to yourself, I'm now $200 or whatever poorer than I was before. You can't immediately see the benefit of writing that tithe check. Let's use another one. Let's say you get down on your knees and you pray. And you pray for a family member who's ill, or you pray for a soul that's lost, or you pray for a situation you're facing in your life. And you get down on your knees and you pour your heart out to God and you get back up. You at that point in time, you cannot see any visible evidence that what you're doing makes any difference. Let's say you you go soul winning on a Saturday. Now, this illustration breaks down at some point in time, but let's say you go soul winning and you knock on a door and you talk to somebody and you tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and they don't accept Christ as their Savior. At first, you don't see any visible benefit from what you did. In fact, it may be just the opposite. It may be that someone rejects you or says something bad to you or mocks you or something because of the fact that you've come to their door to tell them about Christ. And there are many things that we do as Christians, supporting missionaries, coming to church faithfully. You came to church this morning and you will see the benefit at some point in time. But the fact is, you might say to yourself, you know, if I miss church once in a while, it doesn't really make any difference. I can't see that it makes any difference. You see, there are many things that we do as Christians, you cannot see, immediately at least, as you do them, the benefit. So the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And here's the point, and that is what I do, I don't do it because I can see the benefit. One of the reasons I do it is because God said to. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, I can't see the benefit in obeying God. Well, you might not see it right now. It will be later on very evident to you. You say, well, Pastor, I don't see how this makes any difference. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, I'm going to put a little asterisk on that because I can't spend all of my time in five places. But there's another reason that we do what we do is because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's another message entirely, but it's a good message. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ and He says, do this, it doesn't have to make any sense to you. You haven't got to see the benefit. As long as you know that it pleases Him, you'll do it. And so today I want to focus more on the faith rather than sight angle, but you could easily focus on the love perspective, the fact that I love God and therefore I obey Him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That one works just as well. But let's focus on the faith and not sight angle. And let me take you back over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you're trying to take notes on this message, you're going to be very challenged to do so. It's a wandering message. This is not homiletic, if some of you know what that means. It's not going to have 3 points in a poem, but it certainly, I think, will help us out this morning. There are people in the Bible that we call heroes, heroes of the faith. And Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith. It names a number of people that God in the Bible commends as examples of faith. He says, these are some people that you should look to. If you're questioning whether or not you should have faith, look at these fellows and these ladies and look at how they demonstrated faith. And I'll just show you a couple of them. But first, I want to show you again. Here's our subject. He says in chapter 11 in verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now watch this. The evidence of things not seen. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. 2 Corinthians 4, 18. Things which are not seen are eternal. And so now God's going to tell us about some people that did some things even though they couldn't see the benefit or they couldn't see the promise fulfilled. If I can just get Christians to believe that the Word of God is true and God keeps His promises, wouldn't that make a big difference? Wouldn't that make a big difference? I only got to hear the conclusion of Brother Hickson's lesson this morning, but he was talking about something that is very near and dear to my heart, and that is, we believe it because God said it. We don't have to see it. Folks, the fact of the matter is, once you've seen it, it's not faith anymore. Now, it becomes something other than faith. Now there's evidence, but faith is believing something that doesn't have any evidence. Although, again, the illustration breaks down. I think you could show evidence if you tried hard enough. But anyway, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. He says, without faith it is impossible to please Him, talking about God, to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe. And very simply, he must believe that He is, and He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, again, I'm just trying to get the concept planted in your mind. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says in chapter 11 and verse 6 that we must believe. If we come to God, we must believe. It doesn't matter what we see. It doesn't matter what evidence there is. But we believe because God said it. And now the Bible presents us with some people who are heroes of the faith. And I'm not going to be able to go through all of these, but let's look at a couple of them. And let's just start with verse 7. By faith, Noah. Now look at this. Being warned of God of things not seen. There we go again. As yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Now, You may think you have a hard ministry. You say, Pastor, I have a ministry and it's a lot of work. Have you built an ark lately? Good night. And by the way, no power tools. It took him over 100 years to build that ark. And when he built that ark, guess what? It had never rained. Rain was something in the future. He's building the ark on dry land. Not a lot of evidence that this is a good idea. People are walking by every day. What are you doing? I'm building an ark. There's going to be a flood. Well, that's fascinating. There never has been a flood before. In fact, it never has even rained before. You're crazy. Nope. God said, build an ark. God said, the flood is coming. I'm going to build an ark. Wouldn't you like to get on? No, we don't want to get on. You're crazy. Kind of feels like today, doesn't it? You know, folks, the Lord's coming back. People can mock that or they can disregard it or whatever they want to do. He's coming back. And folks, either we're going to go see him when he comes back or we'll go before that by way of death. Either way, heaven is real, hell is real, eternity is forever. Say, Pastor, I was knocking doors one time in Salt Lake City, and it was a split-level house, I remember, because I had to kind of crouch down to look down into the basement to talk to this guy. And he says this to me. He says, prove to me there's a heaven or a hell. You know, I believe God. I don't need anything else. That's proof enough. If you won't believe this book, I don't know what to do for you. I can give you some reasons to believe this book, but until you're willing to say this book is the Word of God, there's not much else I can do for you. God said, there's a flood coming. Noah, build an ark. Anybody that wants to can get on. Eight people got on that ark. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. You say, Pastor, I've witnessed to a bunch of people. Almost nobody listens to me. Well, you're just like Noah. Pastor, I'm working really hard. I'm tired. The ministry seems to go on forever and ever, and I don't even see any reward for it. You will. The day it started raining, the day the flood came up, guess what? Noah's right in believing God, and everybody else is wrong. Say, Pastor, how can the majority be wrong? Well, they were that time. He didn't have to see it. He just believed God. Let's keep going. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. That's a good word. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, I can't read all the rest of this for the sake of time, but you know the story. God came to Abraham. He said, Abraham, leave your family, leave your homeland, and when you leave, I'll tell you, after you've left, I'll tell you where to go. Can you imagine what his family said? Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. What are you doing? I'm leaving. This doesn't work. Why are you leaving? God said to leave. He didn't tell you where you're going to go? No, not yet. But folks, can you trust God? Amen. Amen. He didn't even see the destination. He just knew God said go. God made promises to Abraham. And as time went on, God was right. And we live in a day we can look back at all that and we can see God gave Abraham's people a land. And I don't care what the Reformed theologians believe, that land is going to be theirs. God has not finished with Israel yet. And they're in the land. They will rule and reign over that land for 1,000 years with Jesus Christ as their king. Abraham didn't see, but he went anyway. We could go on and on and on. It just tells us person after person here. Look at Moses down here in verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. That's interesting. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And then verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now you got to remember Moses' situation. His people, his nation, Israel, are slaves in Egypt. They have nothing except hard, cruel bondage and labor and toil. And he's got the right to the kingdom. He's Pharaoh's daughter. He can have anything he wants. The wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world. And he's in the royalty of that nation. He could see what was available to him, but he chose God's people instead. We walk by faith, not by sight. Let me show you a couple of things here. I think, honestly, if a man really believed God, in other words, if a man really would read this Bible, pick a page, see what God has to say, folks, it's all true. None of it's wrong. Say, Pastor, I can't see how that could be. We hear that all the time. People say, I can't see how God could have created the world. No, and you never will, because you're not God. He spoke, let there be light. I spent half a semester in college in a physics course studying light. It's an astounding thing. God just spoke, and there it was. I can't see how God can do that. Someone says, I know, I can't see either, but God can. I believe God. You read your Bible. Let me just give you some thoughts, and this may be too practical, maybe it's not. I think if somebody really believed God, he'd be a faithful church member. Would you agree? You say, well, why would someone be a faithful church member? Well, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Verse 25 of chapter 5 of Ephesians says, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Folks, all of the epistles were written to the churches. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, he founded that church, and he's still using that church. The church is the recipient of the Great Commission. I suppose a group of people could get together and go out into these neighborhoods and teach children about Jesus, but right now, the only ones I see doing it are Vision Baptist Church. In other words, God gave us that responsibility. He also gave us the power to do that. And the authority to do that. And when those children get saved, he gave us the authority to baptize those children in a baptistry. Not that won't save them, but it is their profession of faith before men and their obedience to God. All the things that center around church are a matter of faith. Someone says, I cannot see the benefit of being part of a church. I don't know what you can see, but God said he loves the church. I think a person that believed the Bible would read their Bible every day. If they believe the Bible says in Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Someone says, Pastor, I don't have devotions every day and I can't see that it makes any difference. Again, I think you could if you looked real close, but even if you can't, we don't do things because we can see, we do things because God said to. Amen. And there is a difference. Amen? There is a difference. I think if a man believed the Bible, he'd be a soul winner. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The Lord Jesus Christ, we call ourselves Christians, which means Christ-like. What did he do in his life? Did he start a business? No. Did he have a big house? No. Did he accumulate wealth? No. What did he do? He went about the world preaching the gospel. And ministering to people and pointing them to eternity. Folks, if you're not a soul winner, you're missing out. The Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. The Bible says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Folks, people really are dying and going to hell. Someone says, Pastor, it scares me to death to go knock on a door. That's why I take Mr. Hickson with me. Amen? Brother Hickson, you ever get nervous when you're knocking doors? He doesn't. Did you? You've been doing it a while, haven't you? And you're still here and going strong. Amen? I've knocked a lot of doors. He's knocked a lot of doors. Some of others have knocked a lot of doors. The worst thing I've seen recently is Brother Mendez dog bite. Rattle the gate before you go into the yard and make sure you're wearing your tennis shoes, brother. Amen? Or you have your mace or whatever. But even then, I am thoroughly convinced, don't get me wrong, that this brother is going to get a reward for going and knocking on that door. And maybe there's a dog bite medal in heaven. I don't know. But when we serve God, folks, you say, I can't see the advantage. I can't see the benefit. I can't see the reward. I know that. That's because we walk by faith, not by sight. One day you will. I think a person that believes God, I honestly think they would tithe. The Bible says in Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. You say, wherein have we robbed thee? God's answer, in tithes and offerings. Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Pastor, someone says, you know, Pastor, I've been tithing and I just don't see how that works. I've seen how it works when you don't tithe. Not personally, praise God, but I've seen people that don't tithe and they always have money trouble. Say, why would that be? Because God's word's true. Amen. Now, when you write that tithe check, you may not see the benefit immediately, but I'll tell you this, God's promises are true. Amen. And I'm walking living proof that God's taking care of us as we've been faithful to tithe to him. Someone says, Pastor, I don't see the benefit of serving. You know, if someone says, if I was to commit to be a bus captain, then I'd have to spend some time on Saturdays visiting those children. I don't see the advantage to that. I think there's more advantage if I would do other things on Saturday, rest or clean my house or whatever I want to do, work in the yard, something like that. Well, you know, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reward you for your works. Matthew 16:27. He says, he shall reward every man according to his works. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12 says, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. All I can say to you is this. You can't see that reward today, but you will. I assure you, when you step into eternity, you're going to wish you'd have spent more time serving God. Now, I want to just address in general everybody here. I was very proud of our church for the way we worked hard in Vacation Bible School. And many, many people were faithful. They sacrificed. It was hot. They were carrying heavy things. They were chasing fast children and all the rest. And it all was a team effort, and God blessed it greatly with souls saved and other blessings. But you haven't seen anything yet. Wait till you get to heaven and God gives you the reward for your labors. Say, Pastor, all I've seen so far is a sore back. He's going to reward that too. I'm telling you, when you serve God, there's a reward for it. You got to believe the Bible. I could go on and on and on. I think one more thing I want to talk about is this. Sometimes we sin because we don't see the cost immediately. We choose to sin and we say to ourselves, I didn't see God do anything about that. Aren't you glad God's mercy endures? I'm glad God doesn't deal with us harshly. But you say, I don't really see a consequence for my sin. Once again, we walk by faith, not by sight. God said, here are some things I want you to do, and you may not see the benefit of obeying. You may not see the consequences of disobedience. But folks, there's a day when God's going to set all that in order. And I'm just telling you, if you have been obedient to God, there's a reward for that. And if you have been disobedient, there's going to be a cost. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, knowing this, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Colossians 3:25, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he doeth, which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Folks, there's a consequence for sin. You say, I don't see it. I know, we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, I'm going to finish on an encouraging note, if I could. We've seen the examples in the Bible. Noah, Abraham. Think about Joshua. Here's one more real quick. Think about Joshua. God says, walk around the city of Jericho 7 days. God, I have never, ever seen any city wall fall down because people walked around it. And I literally read a humorous thing one time. I think they were trying to be serious. They were trying to explain God's miracle, saying that somehow these people shook up a fault line. God doesn't need a fault line.
Right.
Folks, the reason the walls came down is because God brought them down.
Right.
And the reason God brought them down is because God's people obeyed him in spite of what they saw.
Amen.
I don't see how walking around the city seven times is going to make any difference. It doesn't matter. God said to do it. And when God tells you to do something and then he promises that he will fulfill that promise when you obey, guess what? God keeps his promises. The people saw what God could do when they trusted him and walked by faith and not by sight. Faith is believing what God said in his word, even when there is no proof, no evidence, no way to verify that what God said is true. And then faith, our faith is proven, it is verified when we do what God said, even though it doesn't seem to make any difference, even when it costs us something. We obey God because God said the greatest reward is going to come in that time when it seemed the most impossible. And folks, if you read your Bible, that's the part you remember. It's impossible for a teenage boy with a slingshot to kill a giant. It's impossible for people to be thrown into a fiery furnace and come out alive. But here's the best one of all. It's impossible for someone to raise from the dead. I can't see how God can do that. But I don't walk by faith, by sight. I walk by faith. I walk by faith, not by sight. So you got decisions to make in your life. Are you going to believe God? Or will you trust what you see? Now, I could go through a whole litany of stories in the Bible where folks trusted what they saw, and it didn't turn out that way. I just named one of them. When the apostles were in the ship, the little ship, and the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep in the back of the boat, and it was not a big ship, it was a little big rowboat's what it was, and they're in this thing, and they're going across the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes up. We all know storms are dangerous. Lots of sailors have died and fishermen have died because a storm came up. And these men were professional fishermen. They knew a bad storm when they saw one. And they woke the Lord Jesus Christ and they said, Lord, save us, we perish. It looked bad. Well, guess what, folks? When Jesus is in the boat with you, you're not going to perish. And he calmed the sea that they were looking at. And what did he say to them? Ye of little faith. Because they trusted what they saw instead of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Got to give you one more. Peter walking on the water. You can't walk on water. It's impossible. Peter's walking on the water. And guess what? He's walking on the water looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And he could see Jesus and things were fine. But then he got to looking at the circumstances, the waves and so forth, and he began to sink. Don't walk by sight, walk by faith. An absence of faith is easy to see. If you're not praying faithfully, daily, fervently, it's because you don't believe God answers prayer. If you're not soul winning, it's because you don't believe God's going to bless that or reward that. If you're not faithful to church, it's because you don't think you don't see how it does you any good. If you're not serving God, if you're not willing to commit to serve God, if you're spending your time trying to make money or to have comfort or to experience pleasure rather than spending your time serving God, you're walking by sight. But folks, we walk by faith, not by sight. I was talking to Brother Tom yesterday at lunch, and one of my favorite stories in the Bible is when it was time to cross the Jordan River, Joshua is going to take the people across the Jordan River and into the promised land. And the trouble is, it is flood stage and the Jordan River is flowing madly. And God told him, he said, here's how I want you to do it. And they got the ark and they got the priests and the priests are carrying the ark. And they're walking towards the river and the water's flowing. And they're walking towards the river and the water's flowing. And the common sense that a man has would say, if I walk into that river, I will drown, especially carrying a big metal box. And the Bible says that as soon as their feet touched the river, That's when God stopped the flow. And the water piled up, and they walked across. Tonight, I'm going to be preaching about Moses once again in Exodus. And the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. And when the people crossed the Red Sea, they couldn't see how they were going to escape the armies of Egypt, but God had a plan. Folks, the Christian life really isn't that complicated in one sense. If we would simply know what the Word of God says and believe it. If you believe it, you'll act upon it. I haven't got to add that condition. If you believe what God says and act upon it, that's the Christian life. Whatever it is. The failures in the Christian life come when we fail to believe God's Word. Say, Pastor, I can't see how that would work. Good. Because when you can't see, you have to walk by faith, don't you? We used to do a little funny game at our camp, and I shouldn't tell the teenagers just because now they'll know about it, but we'd put a bunch of paper cups on a platform, and they'd be spaced out about 2 or 3 feet apart, and we'd blindfold a young person, a young boy or young girl, and we'd tell them, now, what we're going to do is we're going to lead you by the hand, and we're going to help you step over those cups so you won't step on any of them. Just pay attention to the person leading you. And then once they got them blindfolded, they'd remove all the cups. And so they'd be up there doing all this and for no reason. The rest of the young people are laughing and they're wondering why. Well, in the Christian life, there are some obstacles, aren't there? But I got bad news for you. If you try to walk by sight, there's things you can't see that'll get you. But if you walk by faith and just believe what God says in the Bible and act upon it, I can't see how that's going to help, Pastor. Good. That means it's faith. I can't see that making a difference. That's okay. God can. Folks, that's the Christian life. Amen? Now, how do you apply this? Number one, you better know what your Bible says. And then number two, you better believe what it says. And if you will, you'll act upon it. We walk by faith, not by sight. Be very careful. I can make this mistake so easy, and you can too. I can look at the circumstances, and I can say, I know what needs to be done. Or, I know what doesn't need to be done. And I can judge things based on what I can see. Much better to put the blindfold on and let God be the judge, amen, and do things His way. Pastor, I can't see how I'm going to pay the bills. Just do things God's way. He'll show you. Pastor, I can't see how committing to serve God is going to help. Just trust God. He knows best. The greatest heroes in the Bible are the people that said, I don't care what I see, I just trust God. And one of the most obvious evidences of this would be this. The Bible makes it very clear, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've heard people say, I'm not a sinner. They're wrong. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We meet people that are lost all the time and they say, I'm doing fine. Yeah, they need to read that message that Jonathan Edwards preached about sinners in the hands of an angry God. The only reason you're still here is because God hasn't dropped you into hell yet. And someone says, I don't understand how I could have my sins forgiven. It doesn't make any sense to me that I could be saved without having to do anything to save myself. That may not make sense to you, but that's what the Bible says. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Say, how could God give His Son for me? He loved you. And He died on the cross to pay for your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And people mock that. They say, well, it just doesn't make sense that I could just trust God and not have to do anything and my sins would all be forgiven. It doesn't have to make sense. It's what the Bible says. And folks, in one day it will make perfect sense to you. Right now, just believe what God says. Without asking you to raise your hands, I know that most folks here today would profess to me, they'd say, Pastor Schaefer, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I have trusted Him to save me from my sins. He died on the cross to pay for my sins. I'm trusting Him to take me to be with Him for all eternity. I'm trusting Him for my eternal life. If you can trust him for your eternal life, can't you trust him for the next few years? Doesn't need to make any sense. It's just what God said. Maybe you can't see it. We walk by faith, not by sight. Let's all stand and pray.